and welcome to Two Dudes Podcast, or should I say Ashton and Lacey's podcast. And make sure you stay tuned and have an awesome day. Thank you.
All right, I hit record and then answer.
Okay, same. Dude, you know, it's been a long time since we've talked when you aren't in my recent calls. I had to, like, go. Well, you're in my favorites, but I was like, usually I just go to my recents and I click call your name and you weren't in there.
Dude, I was thinking about it this morning and I almost wanted to cry because I was like, it feels like it's been so long, but I also am, like, excited but also scared, so...
Dude, I feel that. I feel like we haven't recorded in so long. I'm nervous. Like, it's our first time again.
Yeah, it has been so long. I mean, it's been like a month.
I know. I feel like I've been anxious this week. And I was like, it's because I haven't been to therapy. Like, I haven't talked to Lacey. We haven't podcasted.
Oh, it does feel. Yeah.
We had to do, like, an obligated social media post of, like, we're not going to be here. I was like, oh, we need to just announce that, you know, but people aren't going to care. And I logged into, like, the Instagram to post. And first off, we had, like, messages of people who are like, is there an episode this Sunday? I'm like, okay, that is so cute. And then even when I did post and I was like, you know, we're taking a few weeks off, whatever, I had, like, people DM us on the Two Dudes account. And they were like, we miss you, or, like, I'm so excited to hear another episode. Like, you guys feel like our friends, and, like, I'm going to miss our conversations. And I'm like, that is just the kindest thing ever. Fuck. Like, it made me feel so good. But I was like, I didn't think people would even notice when we didn't record an episode. I was like, oh, fuck, I just have to post this, you know, like,
yes,
as a business, whatever, we just have to. And then people, like, noticed, and then people cared. And I was like, that's just so kind. Like, it's so, just so nice.
I have two reactions to that. The first is, so I got the best compliment that I've ever gotten in my life. And it was after we had talked about the best compliments. And I, even when she said it to me, I was like, oh, I have to tell Ashton because this, like, replaces all the others. But yeah. I was talking to my friend, and I don't want to say her name this time just because I don't know if she'd want me to, but I was talking to her, and, when I was in Costa Rica, and she was like, I really wanted to talk to you. Like, she had just had this kind of rough day. And she was like, I just missed you and I wanted to talk to you. But instead, I just got in the car and put on the podcast. And I was like, Lacey doesn't care. She'll talk to me through the podcast. And Ashton's helpful too. And I was like, oh my God. And she was like, it was like you were just there. And it honestly, it, like, made me tear up even when she told me, because I was like, that's the nicest fucking thing. It is.
Well, that's like, I just posted on my Instagram, on my story, like, a week or whatever ago, because I've, like, been, I always, like, post when I just get bullied on TikTok, like, when yes. people come for me in my comments, like, I always post them because they're so funny to me. Like, they really don't, like, they don't make me sad. Half of the mean comments I get on TikTok are just, like, funny to me. But I was like, I got the kindest comment on it, and I was like, I need to post this. Like, I'm always posting, like, the mean things people say, and, like, that's not the reality of it. Like, it's not all mean stuff. But someone, I had posted a wedding video that I had made on TikTok, just like a minute, like, whatever clip of the wedding video. And someone commented on it and was like, I follow your, like, photography and videography and your podcast as well. And she was like, between the two or something along those lines, she's like, you create the most beautiful reality in, like, everywhere, or everywhere you touch or something. And I was like, that is... I literally thought too. I was like, we just talked about the kindest compliment, but, like, that is the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. And, like, the way I, like, got chills when I read it, and I was like, people are so good. Like, I'm just reminded about how kind people are.
Oh, and I think just even answering those questions, while it, like, seems like such a silly thing to do, at the same time, it's like, then it's, like, in my head more. So Even when she said that to me, I was like, no, this is the best compliment I've ever. And it like made me yes, pay attention to like the positive things, which is just nice, which honestly like makes you realize how focusing on the positive things like attracts more positive things because you notice them more, and why your like mindset and talking about those things is so important.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like our little break from the podcast, it like shifted us to like a more, and not that I don't feel like we were ever negative, like about, like I always was excited to record, but we also got to a point where like we had never done a podcast ever in our life. And then we did like 15 weeks of it, or I don't even know like how many episodes, 18. I honestly don't know, but it's like, we just did so many in a row and we're like, we need to establish this and we can't take a break because, you know, and then we did take a break. And now I feel like our mindsets, I just am not like, we got to a point where I was just stressed out in my life, and I know you were too. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like we didn't want to just record just to record. We wanted to like want to record. And so then we took a few weeks off. And now today, even though I'm nervous because I feel like we haven't recorded in so long, I like wanted to record again.
I'm so nervous too, because the other thing I was going to say was like, I'd be way more
nervous if I was you.
The other thing I was going to say was like, after like the compliment story, and then I also was going to say like, after this break, like, coming back to do this one is like, like, I don't know if anybody will be here for it. So it'll just be interesting how this goes.
I know, this morning when I felt nervous, I was like, I don't even know why I feel nervous. Like, you're taking the load on this one. Like, I'm just here to listen.
So it's really funny because we just, well, this is not funny. We just spent a weekend in North Dakota at like, we called it a party, but it was a funeral for my Uncle Bill, who passed away from COVID. And so our family hadn't got together. So it was like this thing. So anyway, all of that is to say, the whole time we were there, everyone kept asking about our trip. And every, like, I haven't been nervous to talk about it because everyone that we've talked about it with, like, I mean, fuck, this is like a whole nother thing, but I guess it's like the way we can get into it. First of all, you kept saying I was in Mexico, but I was not. I was in Costa Rica. And it was so funny. Every time I saw a post from you, I was like, she's going to get it right this time. And then it would just say,
I only Mexico. Thought Costa Rica was in Mexico. I'm so confused. I also have been telling people that I have two weddings in Mexico because one's in Cancun and one's in Belize. And then my mom's like, you know, Belize isn't in Mexico, right? And I was like, what? And I've literally, this whole time, I just thought we had two weddings in Mexico. Like, I did not know. And literally until you said that, I always thought Costa Rica was like in Mexico, like how Cancun is in Mexico. I don't know. I dropped out of college. No, this is news to me. I had no idea.
I figured you were just busy and had no idea, but that's actually funny because I thought it was like one of those times where you're using the wrong word for something. And so I was like, whatever. Like, I'm obviously not going to correct you.
I had no idea until you just said that. I just thought.
Okay, well, so Mexico is directly south of the United States and is part of North America. And Costa Rica is a country further south.
Oh my God.
And we have been to Costa Rica. This was my third time there. But this trip was a little bit different. So when we first came back, you know, it was like my dad, we had, okay, fuck. So we went to Costa Rica and did ayahuasca for, for 7 days. And if you don't know what ayahuasca is, it is grown in the Amazon, and it's like a vine with leaves, and it's typically used in traditional tribal medicine. There are tribes that use it for like healing properties, and they make a tea from it. So it's a hallucinogen, and the active ingredient in it is called DMT. So, okay. So now that we've dove into that, so when before we went, like I had wrote this journal entry. So Jesus Christ, this is just all over the place. So I'm going to start from the beginning. Yep. Okay. 10 years ago, I measure life usually by which house we're building and living in. And when we were building our last house, so it was before your dad died. Mm-hmm. We were building that house. And while I was painting the house, I was listening to podcasts. And at that time, there wasn't like as many. And the ones I was listening to were like news stuff. And they were talking one day, they were talking about hallucinogens and like psychedelic medicine and how they were, you know, back in like the 60s and 70s, there was a bunch of stuff with like LSD and all of these experiments at Harvard, and everybody kind of took it a little too far. They were giving it to too many people, and it got a really bad name. Also, the FBI was like using it and dosing people, and shit just kind of went sideways. And so then psychedelic or hallucinogens just were kind of taboo. And so when I was listening to this podcast, I mean, I had a baby. Ellery was like two, and they were talking about just the effects or the potential therapeutic uses like anxiety and PTSD. And at that time, I obviously wasn't in the place I am now, but even then I like knew that I was open to that. Like it wasn't like something that, and that's maybe because I have like a really different perspective on drugs. I think in general, I always think when we talk about stuff, like it's all normal, you know, like I talk to you guys and I talk like a normal person. And I think that everybody thinks like that. And then it's like, I go to Costa Rica to do ayahuasca and I come home and I'm like, fuck, my family that's going to be at this funeral, like, probably isn't like,
lost my mind.
Yes. They're like, you did what?
Yeah.
But also, like, when I came back, I knew I wanted to be honest about it. So that comes later. But so anyway, at this point, I had like 10 years ago or whatever, I heard about it and I was like, that's pretty cool. Because I tend to view things like nicotine is a drug and alcohol is a drug and caffeine is a drug. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there are fuzzy lines between what we think of as drugs. And I think that society gets to tell us what is okay. And I think that that's bullshit because there's, you know, you've got doctors prescribing, like getting people hooked on opiates and not doing their due diligence, but that's all okay. And then, you know, like weed is not, which, I mean, I definitely like to be around people that are high more than I like to be around people that are drunk. Anyway, I mean, I have pretty open views on drugs anyway, but at that time I didn't like, I have never done mushrooms. I had never done LSD. I had never done, I mean, I don't even know if LSD and acid are the same thing, but I had never touched anything.
Yeah, I don't either. Connor is like king of drug knowledge. Like his TikTok feed is all, I told you, I went to his phone one time to look for a picture and he had screenshots of like how to make DMT in your basement. Yes. I'm like, let's delete these. Like, you're not in a position to get caught with DMT, but he knows all of the things. But I'm the same way. Like I do feel very open-minded to all of the above, but I also, there's some times where like how I think Costa Rica's in Mexico, like I have no idea if acid and LSD are the same.
No, and I don't, like, I think in general, the decriminalization of most drugs is helpful for a variety of reasons, including the idea that we have people in jail for small amounts of drugs, which is just asinine to me.
Yes.
When you can get wasted and, I mean, just being drunk causes so much more problems. And maybe that's because it's legal. Like, I get that argument too. Like, yeah. We all have access to it. But I think, if I had to boil it down, my whole idea on anything is like, we just need balance. There's also this guy called Dr. Carl Hart. And he, I believe, is a professor at Harvard. And so I've listened to him and listened to part of this book that he had wrote too. And he's come out and like said he does heroin like recreationally and that he's not addicted, but that it's like really good for his marriage. And I'm not like to that point.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I'm ready, but also
when you start microdosing heroin, I might intervene. Like, that might be where I'm supportive of your Costa Rica trips, but that might be where I'm like, okay, Lace, you gotta talk.
Yes. So I'm not there, but I think it's brave of him to come out and say that, like, I'm not addicted to it. I don't need it all the time. And really, it's intent. And I think that that's the other thing it gets to is, like, I could never do most of the drugs because in the way that I would have done them would have been at a party or at a bar. Yeah. And I was always scared. And it wasn't something that felt safe. And the intent was just to get fucked up. Yeah. Where the intent on our trip was to go and try to
heal. And
yes. Yeah. Exactly. That's so
plant medicine. Yeah.
Yes. So I heard about all this stuff and was like, okay, that's there. Maybe I'm open to that kind of stuff. And that was like 10 years ago. And then a couple years ago, like, there's a guy named Michael Pollan who, interestingly enough, I read his first book when we were on our honeymoon in Costa Rica. And his first book was about food and it literally changed the way that we ate. I mean, it's just like when you learn something, you can't go back. And so learning about that at that time, it was like, we have to be more conscious of what we're putting in our bodies. And then a couple years ago, he wrote this book and he's like an older man, like a respected journalist. And he wrote it about mushrooms. And so when he wrote it, I was like, oh, I just felt like I had to know more. So I listened to that and I gave it to my dad to listen to and Adam listened to it. And just the more we learned, like, I thought we were going to go to Jamaica, which is another country.
Thank you.
And do mushrooms, like, on a retreat. So that is what I had found, like, after I had read this book a few years ago. And mushrooms seemed like it was the thing. And then COVID hit and like things weren't really happening. And Jamaica just never felt, I've been to Jamaica one other time and it's fine. It's beautiful. And it would have all been fine. But it just for some reason never felt like that was the path that we needed to go down. And then earlier this year, I was listening to Rogan's podcast and he was talking about Ron White, who is a comedian and who is like known for how much he drinks, and he drinks during his show, like he drinks a lot. And he was talking about Ron White and he just said Ron White quit drinking, and I was like shocked. And the other person on the, I don't even know what podcast it was, the other person was like, what happened? And Rogan was like, dude, he went to Costa Rica and did ayahuasca. And I like paused the podcast that I was listening to and just immediately Googled like Costa Rica ayahuasca. Like, because like in that moment, like I knew it's so fucking weird because people talk about like when you get there, like all of our friends that were there were like, how did you end up here? Or like, how did you hear about this? Or what led you on the path? And they say that like the medicine calls to you. And
yeah, like you knew.
Yes. And I like,
supposed to be there.
Yes. And I like kind of thought it was bullshit, you know, like, yeah, whatever. But even now when I tell this story, it's like, in that moment, I just knew we were going. And so I paused the podcast and I started looking. And then I found this one place that was a lot bigger and had a lot of stuff happening. And I didn't even, like, I had known ayahuasca was like, so mushrooms have psilocybin, and that's the active, like, hallucinogen yep. in them. And then ayahuasca is DMT. And I mean, I knew it was kind of like the same thing, but I didn't even research the difference between the two. I didn't look up anything. I was just like, ayahuasca, Costa Rica.
Yeah.
So I'd found one place that's like a pretty big place there that a lot of people go to, and it just, that one didn't feel right. And so I kept looking.
Is that where the famous people go? Is that the one?
Yeah, they kind of like, yes.
Or more so famous yes. people tend to go there.
Yes, and they have, it's just more like, it's kind of glamorous. Like, they have yeah. a lot of stuff going on. There's like massages and breath work and like all kinds of stuff that I actually would be really into, but I needed the focus.
Like, that one was right.
Yes, I just needed the focus to be on ayahuasca. Also, the groups there were much bigger. Mm-hmm. So then I found the place that we went is called Soltara. So, like, there's no affiliate, like, whatever. That's just what it was yeah. called. And actually, I was just reading this article like yesterday about Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, and she's mm-hmm. been talking about her ayahuasca trip. And when she was talking about it, I was like, I think they went to the same fucking place that we did.
Oh,
I
mean, really?
I think so, just from like...
Like what you heard about it, you could
yes,
remember
how she described it. Yes. So...
That's funny that they wouldn't go to...
The other one.
Called, but yeah.
Yes. Well, and there's this guy named Aubrey Marcus who...
oh, yeah.
I think he was the CEO of Onnit, which is like, it's like health and wellness company that like Rogan also is like, I don't know, part of somehow. But Aubrey Marcus is like... pretty well known in like the like health and wellness mm-hmm. sphere, and he bros, they all kind of seem like bros,
yeah,
though, you know, like, but they are like whatever. So anyway, Aubrey Marcus, he has also been to Soltara, and everyone, all of our friends that were there, like a lot of them, that's how they had heard about it. And mm-hmm. so anyway, so I found this place called Soltara, and I started looking, and like there were a couple double occupancy rooms. And at the time, like I knew I was going to go probably no matter what, but it would be a lot better if Adam mm-hmm. went with. And when I looked at the dates, it was like our 13th wedding anniversary was like that week. And we don't usually like do anything for anniversaries, mm-hmm. but it just felt like so good. And like I had been seeing the number 13 in like weird places, and I was like, dude, I also know that as I'm telling this story, I'm gonna sound crazy, and yes, I fucking am, but I really am not, because like the number 13, like I like it, even though it's like unlucky, weird yeah. yes, but I just whatever. So it was like our anniversary, and it was like back in Costa Rica, and we had been to Costa Rica like two other times. And
it
so
felt
like,
safe and yeah.
Yes. So all of it was like, okay. So I immediately looked it up. I immediately found the dates. I was like, okay. So I put together this pitch for Adam. Yeah. So he came home from work, and I was like, okay, I think we should go to Costa Rica and do ayahuasca. And it's like our wedding anniversary, and we both turned 40 this year, and like, mm-hmm. fuck it. You know, like,
yeah,
I've been trying really hard to say yes to like all the things and whatever. And so Adam, I was so shocked, because he's normally like a no, and then he comes back and is like, yes. But yeah. he was like, okay, like, yeah, that sounds good. And so I gave him a couple podcasts to listen to, and one of them was Waking Up with Wesley.
Oh,
is that
yep.
what it's called? Yeah. So
yeah, Wake Up, or yeah, it used to be something different, but I think it's Wake Up with Wesley.
Yes.
She's a Utah girl.
Yes, she had gone, and she had gone to Rhythmia, which is the other place that I decided was not. But even in showing Adam, like, we looked at, like, the pictures and everything, and it all seemed perfect, but there was also this little part of me that was like, like, we could get there and get on a bus and go to this place, and it could be like huts in the jungle. Like, I have no idea what we're getting into. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit nervous, but, like, I had him listen to the ayahuasca podcast of Wesley's. And to be completely honest, I think if I had to do it all over again, I maybe would try not to learn as much as I did, because it, like, affected. Shaped. Yes.
Yep, for sure.
Because,
but also it's so hard not to, like, mm-hmm. when you're doing, if I think of, like, how I told you, if we were to, in 10 years, whatever, if we did it, like, I, because of my personality and because we have similar personalities, it's hard to make that jump when you don't know enough. Like, I feel like I would have panicked, or, so I get, like, you don't want to listen to too much because you don't want it to, like, guide your experience mm-hmm. or, like, affect the things that you feel. But also, I feel like it gave you guys the comfort of, like, okay, we can do this. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to – it's not scary. It's not –
yes. It
helped, like, ease in that sense.
Yes. Yes. All of the things. And then I think the one thing is, like, her experience then when I went in, I expected similar kinds mm-hmm. of things to happen. And that was the part that I didn't like.
Didn't like, yeah.
No, because mine was totally different. But so anyway, we book the, or I tell Adam, he starts, like, falling down this rabbit hole, and he's like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm in. And I'm like, okay, the week works. Like, everything just happened to work. And the only thing that was left was booking our room. And so one day I was just sitting here, and I went to go on to, like, this all happened in, like, a week's time.
Yeah.
But I went to go book our room, the room that we wanted, and it was sold out. And I, like, almost started to cry at my computer. And then there was another one that was, like, the most expensive suite.
Yeah.
Available. Like, fuck it. Like, I'm not even going to call Adam. I didn't even call him, Ashton. I just got on and booked it. And then as I was going through and filling out the health form, that's when I texted you and was like, oh, my God. Like, I can't tell anyone I just did this. And Adam has no idea. Yeah. And I just booked this whole trip, like, the most expensive room, the whatever. And, like, and then I was scared.
Well, I remember I was on the couch when you texted me and you're like, we're going to Costa Rica. And I was sitting next to Connor, and I also had heard you talk about it for a long time. And I also feel like, you know, I went from, like, never hearing about it, and then it started to show up. Like, I saw that Wesley had gone, and I had followed her on social media, and, like, you had talked to me about it. And so it had been something I had heard of at the time, and I knew that you had talked about wanting to do it, but it was also one of those things where it's like, okay, yeah, she's interested, like, they're not going to do it, or, like, you know, mm-hmm. not now. And then it was just, like, a random day, and you texted me, and I told Connor, and he's like, shut up. Well, he was so jealous. Connor, he was very jealous, but I, like, vividly remember being like, you're fucking kidding. Like, I thought this was, like, something that we just were going to talk about. Like, I didn't think it was actually going to happen.
Yes. I mean, and that's kind of the thing. Like, we could have talked about it for so long, and that was why I just finally I got to this point where it was like, no, you know, like, we went through not being able to travel and not really going anywhere for, like, a year. And once it opened up, it was like, you know what? Like, I want to do the things that we can do while we can do them.
Yeah. I mean, it's what we talk about on, like, every episode. Like, it's a dream until you take the steps, or, like, you can convince yourself not to do something. It's way easier to talk yourself out of something, but you just have to pull the plug. There's never a perfect timing, even though it seemed to be like it all fell into place.
Well, all of those parts did. Yes, but like you're saying, there were a lot of things too that, like, were in my way. Like, the day that I booked it, like, I told you, and then I just wrote in my journal, because I maybe am going to want to know how I feel. And what I had wrote was this letter to my kids that was like, okay, if you're reading this, like, we're back and we are alive. But like, I want you to know that, like, it felt really selfish and I felt really guilty booking it because it's like, Adam and I are leaving together. We're going to Costa Rica. We're like going to the jungle to mm-hmm. drink this tea. And like, it also felt really dangerous, like yeah. not dangerous, risky. It just for sure. felt risky. But then I was like, that's not fair either, because if that's risky, then it's risky for us to fly anywhere. If mm-hmm. that's risky, like, you know, just the two of us together to go on any trip is selfish. And then also, like, it's almost laughable now that I know that I, like, felt like it was such a risk, because it's like, okay. Like, yeah. It wasn't like we went to some dangerous region of the planet and like hiked in to somewhere and like just found a random plains. Shaman.
Yeah.
Yes. Like boiled our own tea and like yeah. laid in the jungle.
It was very
like
guided yes. or yeah.
Yes. It was like, I mean, it's almost laughable how yeah. comfortable we were, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yep.
it was fine. It was fine. So we get to Costa Rica. Okay, so I booked the trip and then Adam comes home and I'm like, all right, like I just did it. The room we wanted was sold out. I got the most expensive room possible for a double. And he was like, well, I'm glad you just did, because I would have said no if you yeah. would have caught, you know, he would have been like, well, let's just wait or whatever. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I just had to do it. So the other thing that's really interesting about going with someone is that, like, I'm going to try really hard all of this time to just talk about my experience, because Adam's experience mm-hmm. Is his own. And we were very careful the whole time to give each other the space
to have,
like,
your own experience.
Yeah, because yeah. it is really – and, I mean – they like tell you, like, you can't have sex like while you're there at all. And they're really serious about that, because it like can, you know, if like one person wants to and the other doesn't, and then I feel guilted into it. See how I mm-hmm. switched to the first person there?
Yeah.
And then it like, you know, it impacts all of that. And even, I mean, everything. We were very careful and tried to be very respectful of that, because you are, it's such a roller coaster and you're on different wavelengths. But
yeah.
So, like the month before we went, we had to totally start cleaning up our diets and our habits and yeah. our lives. Like, you have to, like, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't, well, I don't know if you can smoke nicotine, but you can't. Smoke
weed. Or, yeah.
Yeah. You have to like clear everything out to make a path for the ayahuasca. So mm-hmm. you also like eat super clean. So it's like no dairy, no pork. And I mean, there's different amounts of time before you go, but like some of them start at like a month out and some of them are like 2 weeks. And then caffeine is like 1 week. And honestly, it all makes so much sense. I mean, practically, let alone like spiritually, but practically, because you get there and that's how you eat the whole week. So if yeah. you had had caffeine up until the day that you got there, like just
cold turkey, you'd have to cut.
Yeah, out. You have headaches, mm-hmm. you know, because you just have tea there. Or if you eat a lot of sugar and then you get there, you know, so it all makes it a lot more smooth. So yep. like, again, the one thing, and like if I was to ever tell anyone anything, it would be like follow the diet.
Follow them, yeah.
Yes. Like follow the restriction. Because once you like, and that was what we did too. It was like, we're spending all of this fucking money to go do this thing that we have no idea. Like, we're just going to follow the rules.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Because like, otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah. It's also understandable though. Like, I feel as though, because I know that there were some people there who this happened, but it's like, you read all this stuff, like, cut this out of your diet, and I feel like it's so easy to be like, oh, that doesn't matter. Like, yes, it's not going to affect me, and, you know, like, what's the difference of having dairy and not having dairy? But, like, until you go there and, like, you see the importance of, like, okay, we took this seriously. And I also feel like it's part of, like, just putting you in the right mindset. Like, okay, you guys are, like, committed. Because the people who don't take it seriously, they get there, they're not, like, ready for what they're about to experience. And so it's just, like, holding yourself accountable. But it's, like, you don't really realize that until you were there. Like, how serious it was to do all of those things.
Yes, 100%. And also, you are absolutely right. Like, setting your intention for being there. And it was, like, we're going all in. So we did all that, like, the weeks before, and then we, whatever, we got on the plane and we went. And we didn't tell anybody what we were doing except for you and Sydney.
Well, that was what was hard. Like, we saw Grandma Pat when you were gone. And I told Connor, like, even when we went to go stay at my mom's house, I was, because he knew. And I was like, I don't think people know what they're doing. And I literally was just going to say Mexico. That's what I told Connor. I'm like, I don't think people know what they're doing in Mexico. But I really did. And I was like, you can't tell. Like, I knew you had texted me and were like, I'm not telling anyone. Like, no one else knows. And then, of course, like, when you were there, like, we went to Rapid and we saw everyone. And I was like, I have no idea where Grandma Pat thinks or, like, thinks. I don't know what she thinks they're doing. But I was like, Connor, don't say anything. Like, just don't bring up what they're doing, because I don't want to be the one who, like, tells Grandma Pat when she's watching the kids, like, oh, by the way.
Yes. So we did. I mean, you guys know and knew. And I think maybe Adam had told Charlie, so Charlie maybe knew.
Yeah.
So, and that was it, because we
probably
also
told Charlie too. He's like one person I trust to tell.
Yes. So, well, we didn't want anybody to worry. Like, we were worried and we were not that worried, but it was like, I don't know what we're getting into. But, like, our family, I think, would have been much more worried the whole time we were gone. And so we didn't want that.
Worried is the best word, because, like, even when I was telling, like, Connor and them, or telling Connor, like, not to tell anyone, I never felt like they were going to be judgmental, which I think says a lot about our family, which is, like, so cool. Like, I don't feel like anyone would have been it, but you're right. Like, just worried, like, especially when you don't know anything about it and you aren't, like, open to the, you know, like, it starts with, like, hearing about it a few times, and, like, really with anything in life, like, it's easy to just come off as, like, well, that's bad and I don't know.
But,
I do think they wouldn't have been judgmental, but they would have been worried, or at least like, when you don't know anything about it, it, like, sounds really absurd or, like, really scary.
It does. It sounds really absurd even when you know about it. I think the more you know about it, the more absurd it sounds.
Yeah. You know, because you just – it's so true.
Well, and when we got back – so my dad picked us up from the airport, and I had been so nervous about telling anybody what happened. And my dad picked us up, and we got in the car, and he was like, how was your trip? And I think I literally talked for, like, 30 minutes straight without stopping and maybe not even taking a breath.
Well, I don't know how you do. Like, when we saw you when you got back and we had dinner with you guys in Hill City, I think we talked for, like, 3 hours. It's not that, like, we talked for 3 hours and, like, we got off track and we, like, it literally was 3 hours of explaining it. And I know it could have been longer. Never. It's just not something you can be like, oh, yeah, and explain it in 20 minutes. Like, I felt like we needed the 3 hours for me to, like, understand it.
And that's what makes this so fucking hard right now, because we're at, like, 48 minutes and I've only explained how we got there.
Yeah.
Like, it hasn't – and I feel – this is the only part that's made me nervous about telling this, is because it is such a long thing, but like it's important to me that people understand like where I came from. Like it's not like we're doing recreational drugs all
we
the time.
We just decided on a whim to do this crazy. Yes. There was so much that went into it. And so much even when you were there. It's not like you guys just got there right off the plane and took this. Like it was a lot that went into it.
Oh, for sure. So all I've gotten through is how we got there. I book the room and we leave. We fly into San Jose, like travel logistics, blah, blah, blah. It was all fine. And we spend the night at a hotel and the next day we get up and we go meet our group. Mm-hmm. So there were, I think we started with 20 and we finished with 18. But there are like 20 of us that meet at this hotel. And
who are there for like the same duration that you guys are.
Yes. So we went, the trip we booked was 7 days with 4 ceremonies. And that really was all we knew. So we get to the hotel, we like meet everybody comes down. And there are going to be so many parts of this. Oh, I'm actually going to cry, but there are going to be so many parts of this that like...
I'll probably cry too. I cried at the rental with you guys. Did you see that? Like, yes. And Adam was talking and then you were talking. And then I got home and I was like talking to Connor in the car. And I was like, I just keep crying. And I wasn't even there. Like, I can't even imagine because I was crying, like hearing what you guys saw and what you guys like. It literally.
Yeah.
Well, it is emotional though.
Yeah. So all these people start to come down and. So parts of this are going to sound like magical and I like get it. I get the part that like I felt drawn to that and like looking back, there were all these things that like led us on this path and it felt like it was just part of the journey that we're on. And like I get that that all sounds like bullshit. I get it. But also like I don't care because like I know. And when the people started coming down, like, of course you're nervous, you know, like when you go to meet a group of people for the first time, it's always like awkward. And I didn't know then that like I would love all of these people. But from the very beginning, it just felt so fine. So we get to the hotel and then we get on the bus and then we drive to a ferry and then the bus drives on the ferry and we take a ferry across like the Gulf and we went to the Nicoya Peninsula, which we had never been to that part of Costa Rica before. We got back on the bus and then we're like driving and it's like 5 minute drive and it's on like Forest Service trails. And still, you know, like at this point, it's like, I like all these people. Everything's going to be fine. The driver and like our person from the resort, we're all fine. Like everything's fine. Except we start driving and I'm like, oh, where are we going?
This is it. Yeah.
Yes. Like we're driving up this Forest Service trail and it was so bumpy and so, and I was like, oh my God, where is this place? And we drove by this one part where there was like kind of some huts and stuff. And I swear someone said like, this is it. And I looked out and I looked at Adam and I was like, I can't sleep in this. Like, yeah. I'm going to be so anxious the whole time. And he's like, I think we're okay. And we just kept driving. So we got up to the top. And there was like the top of this hill in the fucking jungle. And there was this gate. And they hopped out and opened the gate. And we pull in. And like, it was fucking awesome. It was awesome. So there's like 2 blocks of condos. And then like the office. And then the pool. And so we all unpack. And then we have group to start. And so we go down and... The thing is called a maloca. So it's down kind of lower than the rest of the property. Well, at the lowest point of the property, but not at the bottom of the hill. Like we're pretty much at the top. And this maloca is like this beautifully built, like wooden, I want to say hut, but I don't know if that's the right word. Like there's like thatching at the top and Mm-hmm. Anyway, they had had...
like a circle hut.
Yes, in a big circle. It's made out of like wood. And then on the sides, it's just netted. And then the like floor is wood. And it just was... It was beautiful. And that is where... That's where the magic happened. So...
Yep.
We went in there and we all sat in a circle and we had our first group. And like, you know, nobody knows each other very well yet. And we just went in and they kind of talked about... It was like ayahuasca 101, you know? Mm-hmm. They like teach you about the plant and this is the stuff and this is what you can expect. And everyone is like nervous and on edge and nobody knows what to expect. And actually our group of 20 or so people, there was only one who had any experience.
Done it before.
Yep. With the medicine. So, and those times had been like singular times, like one here and one there in different situations, whatever. Mm-hmm. So everyone else was... had not met the medicine before. So that was kind of cool because we were all rookies for the most part.
Doing it together, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they talked a lot about what to expect and really kind of like, I don't know, it was more like everybody getting settled in. So this is like
an Sunday. Orientation sort of.
Yes. And like we're all on edge. We're all like anxious. We're all nervous. We're all worried. And it was just like a really good way for everyone to kind of settle in. And then we had dinner all together. And then we went to bed because the next morning at 7 a.m. on Monday, we have a vomitivo, which I had no fucking clue this was gonna happen.
Yeah.
And people,
I was so open-minded about everything, and this was probably the only part of your story that I was like, you are kidding. Like, I couldn't believe. And I was, this is probably when I asked you guys the most questions. I was like, I need to know more. Like, was it weird? Did you feel so weird doing this? But
so
it's part of the process.
Yes. And other people, other friends that were there had like looked it up. So when we were on the bus, they were like talking about the schedule because the schedule, like a tentative example schedule, is on the website. And I was like, I never looked at anything. Like, we just booked it and I was like, whatever. But they were like, there is a vomitivo. And I didn't even pay attention. I was like, whatever. Like, whatever it is, we'll just do it.
Yeah.
But in our ayahuasca 101, like, they tell us, like, tomorrow morning is the vomitivo. And it is where you will all come and you will drink this lemongrass water. And you will drink it and drink it and drink it and drink it and drink it until you start violently vomiting fucking everywhere.
In front of everyone else.
Yes. So at 7 a.m. that morning, and we were all like kind of, I don't know, in shock, I think. But at 7 a.m., we like walk down to the Maloka and we're like, there's like a little deck around it. And so we're all sitting on the deck and like there were facilitators there for this whole trip. And they were there to help with ceremony. They would like meet with people if you at any time. They were like almost counselors, and but I would really, they were more like guides. They were like our guides for the whole time. And they all had a lot of experience with the medicine and working with the medicine. And you know, most of them have traveled a lot and have worked with other medicines. And so they're all very knowledgeable and very kind. And so the three of them were like standing up along this fence, and they legit took the top rail. Like, the fence was built so that the top rail in like three places, they just lifted it off and moved it. So it was built for the vomitivo. So like three people started and they went up and they were like, okay, so the intention here, I think, is twofold. And I think kind of like the diet, it's like there's a spiritual intention and then there's a practical one. Like mm-hmm. the spiritual one is to prepare your body for the medicine. You're eating like the traditional diet of the Shipibo tribe, like similar to the things that they eat in the jungle so that your body is like in a space similar to what they would be if it was in mm-hmm. a traditional ceremony in the Amazon. And then the other side of it was like, and once you start puking, it's going to be a lot better for you to purge and not throw up, you know, red meat and caffeine and alcohol, and your mm-hmm. body will just respond better. Mm-hmm. So it's like the same thing here. Like,
and just a huge icebreaker.
Like, yes. Yes. And that's it. Like practically, it made us all friends. So mm-hmm. we went in and we're still all kind of awkward. But once you start like throwing up in front of everyone, it's like everyone is cheering you on. Like they're like, yeah. Like as soon as I started puking, people were like, yeah, Lacey. And it was like, yeah, fuck yeah. And yeah. then also it's like I can do this and mm-hmm. I don't care if I'm throwing up in front of people. And then the other side is the lemongrass is meant to like cleanse you and mm-hmm. prepare you for the medicine and just make you more receptive. So that's like the spiritual side of it. And I guess, I don't know, and I haven't done a lot of research, but one of our facilitators had said that in terms of preparation for medicine, what we did was relatively like low-key. like there are practices of like purging before medicine that are much more intense than like drinking some lemongrass water. So you go up, there's like three people lined up. They like take the rails off the fence and like you just start drinking. So you drink and then they fill it up again. And like for me, I just started drinking and didn't stop. Like mm-hmm. I just drank and then it's fucking horrible. I mean, it feels horrible. Like my stomach hurt, like, and I just kept drinking. And so there's like that mental part of it too. Like you want to stop, but you like,
can't.
No, and you can do it. So there's like that part of it too, that, you know, we were all so nervous and all so scared. And then it's like, you know what? Fuck this. Like we can do it. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept drinking and drinking and drinking. So the first three people went. And then as soon as there was an opening, I like ran up because I was like, I gotta just get this over with. And so I drank and drank and drank probably like six big glasses of the stuff. And then I just started throwing up. And then when you think you're done, they're like, okay, now stick your fingers down your throat and make yourself throw up. And I was like, I cannot do that. Like, I've never been able to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember thinking when I was like 14, maybe I could be like bulimic. I shouldn't even. This is a horrible
I've thought this before, except I can make myself throw up, but I've been like, if only, like, if I could just be anorexic. And then I'm like, I'm so hungry. Like, I can't. Yeah.
But I was like, when I was like 14, I remember like, maybe I could just throw up my food. And I went into the bathroom and I was like, I can't do it. No, I couldn't like stick my fingers in my throat. So when she was like, stick your fingers in your throat now, I was like, I can't. And she's like, yes, you can. Just do it and wiggle them around. And I did it. And I just kept throwing them and throwing them. And then finally, I was like, she's like, have you got it all? And I was like, yeah. So I went and sat back down and I was sitting next to our friend. And then he went up and then he came back and he was like, don't you just feel so light and clean? And I was like, no, I don't feel like that at all. I feel fucking horrible. And he was like, maybe. Do you think you need to throw up more? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. But I just wanted it to be done so fast. You know, I was like, okay, I puked and puked and I'm done. So he's like, go to the bathroom and see. And I did not want to. I did not. But I did. I went over to the bathroom and I threw up so much more in the bathroom. And then I came out and sat down next to him and I was like, yeah, okay. Now, I feel light. But the whole other time, like, you just feel like waterlogged until mm-hmm. it's all out. But it's all so mental because it was like, you know, once I started puking, I was like, yes, I'm done. But I really wasn't done. So then we just sat there and it was so funny because I was so nervous for Adam, which is probably why you don't like go with your partner or whatever, you know, because like when I was done, I should have been done. But I was so nervous for him to go because he's the fucking loudest puker I've ever heard in my life. And it is like so
shakes the house. Yes.
And I was so nervous for him. And then that was one of my lessons too. And the whole thing was like, there were plenty of other people who are loud pukers. Like I should not be judgmental of Adam's puking because I have heard all variations of vomiting now. And I can tell you, like, he is not the loudest nor the grossest.
Yeah.
But I was like so nervous for him. And then also, like, I'm a puker all the time. Like,
same.
If I drink too much, I always throw up, always same. The next day, but always throw up. If I get a migraine, I will throw up. If I have a stomach ache, I will throw up. If my entire family gets a cold, I will get a headache and throw up. Like, it's like whatever, however stuff affects me, it is always fucking vomiting. Oh,
the exact same way. Yep.
So going in, like they tell you like what to expect in ceremony. And a lot of what happens is purging.
Purging.
And so I had heard like when Wesley had talked about it, you know, she was like, everyone has a bed and everyone has a bucket. And even then I was like, do people shit in this bucket? Like... Like, I know people are puking, but they kept talking about purging. And like, one of the things, like the first ayahuasca rule is like, never trust a fart because like, so I was like, but thank God in one of the talks, someone was like, I get you puke in the bucket, but are you supposed to go to the bathroom in the bucket? And they were like, no.
Yeah, please don't.
Like, if you can not just shit in the bucket in the middle of ceremony with everyone around you.
Yeah, when everyone's like, right next to you.
Yeah, like, go to the bathroom. So that was, like, a huge relief because I did not know, you know, because they talk about purging and they say, like, it just comes on and you just have to whatever. So that was, I mean, that's part of the vomitivo, too, like, preparing us. Because, I mean, I do not know what percentage of the people there purged. Like, I did not vomit in ceremony and Adam didn't either. But there were a large proportion of people that did. But there also were others who didn't. So,
which that surprised me. Remember, that was one thing that I kept talking about when we first talked about this was I am also the same way that, like, I am just a puker. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, if I drink, I can drink, like, 2 glasses of wine and I'll throw up that night.
Yes.
Or I can think of times I've taken too much of something and I throw up. Or I'm the exact same way. And so I felt... I told you, like, if I were there, I would have been nervous. I would have been the one, which I know is not something to be nervous about. And, like, it's part of the process. And for some people, that just happened. But I was surprised that you didn't. Because I think of times when I, like, drink too much and I throw up. And I would feel like if I did that, I would be the one to throw up, like, the whole ceremony. So I was surprised that you didn't. Because, like you just said, you, like, throw up in lots of instances. So.
Yes. And I just went in, like, not even thinking I would not vomit. I just assumed that I would. And you said something else. I would be nervous about it, and I shouldn't because it's part of the process. But the thing I wanted to say, too, is, like, I was nervous about a ton of stuff. I was not nervous about puking, but I was so scared I was going to shit my pants. like... So scared. Like, I was like, I can fucking puke all day. Like,
And you after the vomitivo,
after that, I was like, okay, fine. But also, like, I've had a baby, and sometimes when I puke, like, I have to go to the bathroom right away or I will pee my pants. Like, so I was like, oh my God, if I puke and shit at the same time, like, I'm going to be fucking it's mortified.
Over. Yeah.
Yes. So I think one thing that I learned too is like there are a lot of things. Okay, I'm going to jump to one of the things that I learned. There are a lot of things I think that we try to downplay or to not feel. You know, like I'm nervous, but I know I shouldn't be. Or like, especially with losing a parent, it's it is, I'll only speak for myself, but I've spent my whole life when I was little, people being like, oh, I'm so sorry. And me always being like, it's okay. Like, it's fine. I'm fine. And one of the things that I really learned and struggled with through this whole thing was coming to terms with all of those emotions and just being okay feeling what I feel. Mm-hmm. So being nervous about any part of it is like, it's okay.
Valid.
Like, yes, we're in a fucking different country. We're with a bunch of people we have never met before. Mm-hmm. We just threw up everywhere. And we're going to go into a ceremony and do a drug that we've never done. Like, it's okay to like be scared. And I was scared. And I think some of our friends were scared.
For sure.
And Adam was, I guess, maybe not scared, but everyone was nervous and apprehensive, you know, because we didn't, it's like the unknown. So we go through the vomitivo, everyone's best friends. We go up to breakfast, like the vomitivo ends like 10 minutes. Like I'm puking in the bathroom, finishing up, and people are still like puking outside. And at like 10 to 9, we finish, and then breakfast is at 9. And so it's like you go up to breakfast after you've just like vomited all this lemongrass. Yes. I was like, I think I'll just have a bite of fruit or a banana. And then so we spent that day. I don't even remember the exact schedule, and it doesn't really matter, but most of the days were kind of scheduled. Like we had breakfast, and then that day, I believe, so we also had health checks. So one thing about going is that one part of cleaning everything up that didn't really matter to us was that you also have to stop taking, so we take a lot of supplements, which we stopped all of those. I take like CBD, I stopped that. And but you had to stop taking prescriptions. Now,
which is huge for a lot of people.
Yes. And it depends on what it is and what you take. But when we filled out the health form, like you have to fill out all the prescriptions that you take. And then I assume if there is something there that you need to like talk to them about, like you have a call. We didn't have to because I don't like take anything and neither does Adam. So it wasn't a thing for us, but they're very careful about, you know, interactions with the medicine. And then also, like, part of it is you don't want anything that's messing with your brain either, because you're kind of clearing the way for the medicine to come in and do some work. And I don't know if that is the spiritual explanation or the practical one, but that's the one, that's my understanding of it. I didn't say this, but when we were on the ferry, we had met another couple who were there, and they kind of they didn't really know what they were getting into. I think they thought they were going to do mushrooms. And then when we told them it was actually ayahuasca, they were like,
what the hell?
Yes. So I think they were like, I don't want to speak for them, but my understanding would be like they were there with the intentions of like doing the medicine, and like they had things that they wanted to work through, but then also like they weren't fully prepared.
Yeah.
So they hadn't really followed the diet or any of the other stuff. And that is all fine. I'm not like that was their journey and experience. And that's all good. I just think it made it a little bit harder for them. And she was on some medication that like she really needed.
Needed, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was kind of a struggle for them too, because she was like, I have to take these. And so, I mean, It is definitely hard. I think that was what I was getting
Which
at.
That it's, was it's also hard. And I'm sure you'll touch on this or like explain this later, but they left. But earlier you had said how you started with 20 and left with 18. And I was like, I don't want people to think that anyone died. Like they I literally thought that earlier you made that comment, but it was like in the middle of a sentence and I'm like,
no one died.
And then I kept thinking and I'm like, okay, wait, we should clarify. Like,
no,
I would assume or you'll talk about it.
Yes. They well, I can right leave. Now.
Yeah,
yes.
But earlier they did. I was like, people are going to think like two people died. No, like, we started with 20 and left with 18. Oh, God.
No, no one died. Everyone was happy was and choice. Healthy at the end. And yes, they just
were not prepared.
No. And not even like, look, by Wednesday, I was like, I want to go home.
Yeah.
Like, this is all really hard and sad, and I want to go home. And Adam said, well, he didn't say it until like a couple weeks ago, but he said, and I did not know this, but he was like, I thought at one point we were going to leave. Mm-hmm. So it is really hard. I think it's really hard to also think you're like going on a vacation too or getting away, and it's not getting away. It is hard. Addressing. So being
and
there.
It's not like easy healing. Like it's, yeah, you have to go through a lot to feel the yes. therapy and the, like no therapy is just like all fun and joy
no.
and happy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard. So I think we had 18. So we went into, we had the health check. So the doctor was there. That's where I was at. Mm-hmm. So that we all had to meet with a doctor. And I mean, he just like took our vitals. It wasn't anything. Rested. And then at 6:30 that night was yoga. And yoga was in the Maloka. So when you walk into the Maloka, there were all of these like mattresses. Mm-hmm. But like spread around in a circle around the edge, and we all had one with our name on it. And then we started yoga at 6:30. And then after yoga, there was like a little bit of a break, and then we went into ceremony. And I forgot to mention that day in one of our groups, we met the maestro and maestra, who are like the shaman in their tribe, the mm-hmm. healers. They come to Costa Rica. They use the medicine in their tribe. And so our ceremony is structured like that. So we go into ceremony and we're all sitting on our mats. And they start with like one person and then we would go around the circle. And so you go up to the middle and you have a little bath, so you have a bucket next to you for puking, not shitting.
Yeah.
and then a little basket. And in your basket is like a lighter and an ashtray, because everyone gets, I think it's called mapacho, but it's a like a cigar like yeah. traditional tobacco that you like smoke that helps also like heal, clean you up and helps the medicine work better. And then also there's like a roll of toilet paper in case you need to like wipe yourself off. And then you bring a flashlight, and you bring a flashlight that has like a red light, because the red light is not as bright or noticeable. And then they told us like, if you need something during ceremony, you like just put the red light on your chest and then turn it off, and then somebody will see you and they'll come over and
like if you have help to go you. To the restroom or something.
Yes.
That's yep. what the red light's for.
Yes. So that's all in your basket. So they start and and a shot glass. It's like a skinny, tall one. So you go up and you take your glass and you sit down, and the facilitators are there and the maestra. And she has jugs of the tea and she pours you one and you just drink it. And then you go back to your mat. You start with one, and then they said if you want seconds once they start singing. So we go around, everybody takes their first glass, then the lights go out. So, but it is silent and pitch black. And you mm-hmm. just sit on your mat, or, you know, like I laid back on my back. And then after a little while, maybe 45 minutes, they start to sing. So they had told us that when the maestro start singing, their first songs are like of protection in the ceremony. So they're like singing these songs to protect the maloka. So they sing from the middle. And when they start singing, it is like you can see light. I can't even, there's no, so the hardest part about all of this, even when I was thinking about it, was like, one, I'm going to sound batshit crazy. And two, things happened that in my heart, I like knew what they meant and I knew what they meant in my head. But once I start to explain them,
yeah,
they don't mean the same thing. But it was like my eyes were closed, and once her voice started, like, I would just see like streams of light, like moving. It just was amazing how their singing like brought the medicine to life. Before they start, it's almost like my mind is just wandering. There was a lot of stuff like that happens. Like at one point, you know, they tell you like your memories. So they'll tell you, like, you'll see flashes of, like, cartoons that you watched as a kid or, like, memories. And at one point, like, all that would go through my head were, like, flashes of, like, 80s and 90s, like, rap songs like, that, like, I had listened to when I was a kid, like, growing up. And as this goes, I get that all of this comes from my head. You know what I mean? Like, I get that, like... And that is kind of why I wished I wouldn't have listened to Wesley, because I had her experience in my head. And then as mine is unfolding, I'm like, why is this happening differently? But it is my, it's stuff in my head or stuff that I think. So like your my memories.
Your experiences.
Yes.
Your,
And it like unlocks your subconscious and like lets all of those things that you haven't thought of, but that are stored in there come up. Mm-hmm. So also, as I go through like the stuff that happens or the people I see or the conversations, like on one level, like I know that the origin of that is my own mind and it's probably what I need to hear. And on the other, I wouldn't have heard it if I hadn't taken the medicine. Mm-hmm. Like, so it like opens these doors, but then also that's why it's so healing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm laying there. I'm like trying to let my mind wander. And I wanted to tell you, I had written this down. And I know when I told you before, okay, here's what I wrote. Like, so after I got back that night, I tried to write in the journal and my hand wouldn't even work. So I couldn't write till the next morning. And the one thing I wrote was I could allow my mind to wander, but I was still tethered to reality. Mm-hmm. And in order for stuff to happen, I must turn off my inner narrator. And I saw her. Like, I saw myself as, like, the person telling the story. Like, I would see stuff, and then it would be like, oh, that's because they're singing. And I was like, bitch, you have to stop talking. like, and I wrote, I saw her, the person that sees things and has to put words to everything. She's unnecessary. She is the person I need to let go. And so that night, it was exactly what I needed it to be, because I was scared that I was going to drink the medicine and not be able to control myself. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I thought...
That was one thing that we had talked about is like, I know that like you, when people drink and you get into like the nights that are like bad drinking, and when you get sad and like you can't get out of that spiral of sadness. Like I've had nights where like I was drunk and I started crying and then I couldn't stop. Or like you smoke weed and you get stuck in these spirals of like anxiety.
So
you
anxious.
Can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
But that, because I remember asking you, because like, you know, I've heard of people who get stuck in like bad trips.
Yeah.
You know, and people say that frequently about like any sort of like hallucinogenic or types of drugs. But one thing I was surprised by that you had said was like you were in control of everything. And if like you wanted something to stop, then you just ended it. Like you opened your eyes or you quit, which I was surprised by, because I feel like my perception of it at the beginning was like it had to be guided because people have terrible trips and it's like this super scary, anxious thing and you can't get out of it. But like there was more control that you guys had that I didn't expect when I heard you guys talk about it.
Same. So exactly the same. I thought we were going to go in, and the idea of bad trips is the one thing that scared me about all of this the same. Most.
Yeah, it would scare me too.
And like they talk about, like, there are people who are built for hallucinogens and people who are not. And like, if you have any like lingering or any like psychosis in your family, like I don't know if that's the right word, but like schizophrenia, like it can trigger that. And then so even before we went, I was like, fuck, what if somewhere in my family there's like a schizophrenic and I like didn't know it and I like go on this trip and I don't come back like a normal person. And that was 100% my biggest fear. And also, I had never done mushrooms or any of the other stuff. So I had
nothing like, to compare it to.
And even our friends that were there were like, you know, they would ask like, what do you have experience with or whatever? And I was like, I mean, I've only smoked weed in my life. Like, I've never like, I've never done any of these. And they were like, you skipped all
of it
and went straight to ayahuasca. And I was like, yeah, I guess. Like, I don't know. So the bad trip, and now I don't know if it is like this for everyone, but I think that I now know. Well, I'll get into that because I did have bad nights. So the first night was not bad. I could hear myself talking a lot in my own head. And I think the one thing was like, I didn't know how bad it would suck to just be in my own head. Yeah. And so it like made me crazy because I was like, this person is annoying. Like, she needs to be quiet and just let stuff happen. But also, like, I laid there and I would let my mind wander, and then she would like talk and narrate the journey, and then it would like kick me out of it. But also, I felt safe because it was like I knew that I wasn't going too far down the rabbit hole. Like, I still could bring it back. As soon as they sing these songs of protection, and then they separate and go to opposite sides of the maloka to two different people, and they sit at the edge of your mat and they sing healing songs to you. Every night you go in with an intention. And so the first night, my intention was that I asked to be made whole. I didn't know what that meant really, but like, this touches on that trauma piece, I think, too. Like, I don't have like huge trauma in my life. My mom died, but like, my dad is great and he was a good, active parent. Like, there were things that happened to all kids and shitty things that have happened, but like, not anything. And I think in general, I downplay this part of like not having a mom. And I think that there are a lot of emotions I don't feel or I don't talk about or I try to bury. And so I went, originally I was like, but even anxiety, like, I have anxiety, but I don't like have anxiety where I can't get out of bed most days, or I feel depressed sometimes, but for the most part, it isn't like, you know, one of our, yes. And so I almost feel guilty sometimes because it's like, why am I doing all this shit when it's like, I don't have any big things, but I'm also tired of that. I'm tired of trying to pretend like everything is okay when it's not. And if we can't just be like, look, my life is great. Like, it's great. I love everyone. I've good relationships, but like, I'm still sad as fuck sometimes, or I'm still really upset, or I'm still anxious, or I still worry about what I say, or I obsess about things. And it's like, all of our trauma is relevant. Valid. And And it's hard to get to that point, but anyway, whatever. So I was like, I want to be whole physically, but I want to be whole, like, emotionally too. Like I want to mm-hmm. feel like everything is put together. And so it's so weird how that intention also structures how things go. So I went up for the second glass and then I laid down and then the maestra came around and when she was singing to the person next to me, like my whole left side, and that's the side she was on, just started to like shake. Mm-hmm. And my left arm would like raise up to the sky and then just drop. And so that's the part of like, you're in control, but you're not. And like, if you let your mind go wherever it wants, like shit will happen. And then when she moved to me, you're supposed to sit up when they come to sing to you. Mm-hmm. And I just sat up.
More.
Yes. And I just started sobbing. It was like she was my grandma. And but then it was really my grandma. And my grandma was like, we're always here with you. And then my mom was there too. And she was like, we're all a part of you. And I was just sobbing. And this woman was sitting in front of me who like felt like she was my grandma. And was like, in my head, I was like, is this it? And like they say the medicine talks to you. And I don't know if it was the medicine. And I don't know if it was my grandma. And I don't know if it was like my own head just being like, we're all here and you're whole already. And then mm-hmm. I just sobbed. And yeah. I sobbed the entire fucking time she sat in front of me. And then once she left, I just had to lay back down. And I laid back down. And then I just laid on my side. And it's like just this whole conversation you have with yourself, but also it's like the medicine. And mm-hmm. then there was like this, fuck, I don't even know if I can like say this, but there was like this thing that felt like a seed. It was like an acorn that was like planted in the base of my neck. And it was like this plant that like grew down through my whole body and into my brain. And it was like the medicine. And it was like, you're just fixed. Like, that's what it was like. Like, everything, like, you're whole. This is here. Like, everything is fine. And so it's so weird. And like, part of the things that happen is like Adam had a body scan. So that's like a typical thing that'll happen too, where like you kind of feel like everything, like a scanner, like mm-hmm. is like going through your body and going from your head, like all the way down to your feet. And for him, like it stopped at like the points where he's had pain, had like
physical
his,
pain. Yeah.
Yes. Like his wrists and his ankles. And it felt like, then he says it felt like it like electrocuted kind of those mm-hmm. spots. And then it just kept going down. And then he didn't have pain in those spots or like he yeah. didn't roll his ankle the rest of the time we were there, which was like such a thing for him. And, mm-hmm. you know, since I've been back, I've been reading. It's like ayahuasca can like regenerate different neural pathways in your brain. Like it can rewire your brain. Like that's what mm-hmm. it does, kind of like acupuncture where you like flag the targeted things in your brain's or, yeah. like, yeah, like, oh, it's there. And same with like Adam's body scan. So anyway, that night it was like my grandma's and then it was like, I'm whole. And I just sobbed. And then I just felt so much love from like everyone and everything. And the whole night was like light and easy. And there were so many colors, like colors and images were like one of the main things that I saw the whole time. Then all of that was fine and everything felt really good. And afterwards, they were like, okay, the ceremony's closed. And I had taken my contacts out like halfway, like halfway through the ceremony because my eyes were just burning and they'd been in, you know, since like 7 when we did the vomitivo. I wait until everybody or till the maestro and maestra leave and I like stand up. And I think it's all like over. And as soon as I stand up, I'm like, I can't like you're drunk and you can't walk, you mm-hmm. know? So I had to be like, okay, left, right, like yeah. all the way to the door. And then they open the door. And then I go outside and I cannot find my shoes. And like people are trying to leave. People are still in the Moloko, like laying on their mats, like trying to sleep or still in the thing. Like we're all being really quiet. And I am like searching for my shoes outside, like with a light. I like look at every pair. I like touch them. One of the facilitators comes over and she is like, "What do you need?" I was like, "I can't find my shoes." She's like, "What do they look like?" And she's from Peru and speaks English like very well, but also like, I was like, "Birkenstocks?" Yeah. She's like, "Okay." And so she like shines her light on every pair of shoes and I literally touch every pair. I'm like, "No, no, no, no." And we get all the way done and she's like, "Just a second," because there's everyone else is coming out, like needs their fucking shoes. And I'm like in the way. So I go sit down and then she just looks at me because she's like, "Well, I don't fucking know what to do." And I don't know what to do either. And so I go, "I think someone took them." And I just start laughing. And she busts out laughing. Like we are giggling. Honestly, it felt like we were children.
Yeah.
Like, we are just laughing. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be quiet. And then right as we're just laughing, Adam is right there and he goes, "Your shoes are right here." And me and the facilitator just die laughing. I like fall over. And Adam, we start to walk down the stairs and then we're just like bumping into each other and then walking to the outside of the road and then coming back, like swerving just into each other. It's like we were drunk, but also like you're just in this thing that's so intense. You know, we had both been sobbing. And I mean, if this is the only part of Adam's thing that I feel like I've heard enough times that I could say like it doesn't matter. But like he went into that night, his whole thing was really about your dad. Mm-hmm. So all of this time since we lost your dad, like he can't really talk about it without crying. And that those are his words. Like he mm-hmm. has said, you know, "I've never been able to really talk about John myself without just breaking down." And after he took the medicine that first night, he like sat back up against the wall and he just felt like a physical weight on him and he like couldn't move. And then I know, just because I know from my own experience, like there's stuff that you see and stuff that you understand that's happening that you cannot explain. So mm-hmm. like his version is that he has this weight and it's like on him and he sees some stuff and then he sees your dad, "Namaste, John."
Yeah.
Which is like the best fucking
yeah.
thing. Like, and your dad like nods at him. And I assume, and Adam, no, see, now I'm getting into assumptions, but it sounds to me like it was like your dad telling him that everything was okay. And then the weight was gone and Adam could move and he like cried, you know, and there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you're laying there for like however many hours that is. So, I mean, I know that there is more to that. But that was like his intent was to like deal with his grief. And mm-hmm. and so we walk back to the room and we're like knocking into each other, walking. We are literally laughing the entire walk up, like just laughing at the absurdity of all of it. And we both felt like really happy. And the first night was really good. And we like got up to the room and we like got into bed and I was like, "I'm gonna journal." And then I couldn't get my hand to work. And then we just laid there and laughed. And I kept seeing like garden gnomes like surrounding us, just laughing. And I would like tell Adam. And we like didn't get into any of the deep stuff that had happened or like the sad stuff. But that was the night he said to me, like, "My mom and the girls need to come here." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Everyone needs to come here. Like, this was so like la la la, and it felt so good and so happy, and I agreed with him, and it was like just so helpful. Mm-hmm. So we went to bed probably at like 3 a.m, and then we had to get up the next morning for like breakfast. And the first day that you're there, they give you buttons, and they're like, if you want a day in silence, just put on the button and we'll know, you know, that you don't want to speak. And even when they said that, I was like, that's so weird. Like, would you really not want to speak about it? But then after going through the first night, it was like, oh, I get it. Because our first night was good and happy. But even then, like, to try and put it into words is so much that, like, it feels like it takes away. But when we got down to the table, like, some people had been sick, like, the whole night, just throwing up. And one of our friends, the one who had done ayahuasca before, she was like, she threw up the entire night, the entire night. And she just said, like, I feel like it was all these demons that like needed to come out of me. And, mm-hmm. you know, like it was horrible, but it was so good. But physically, like she was just worn out. But it was, you know, everyone, even the people that had been sick were like, it was good. It was good. We have to go down and meet. We have one-on-one sessions. And so I think I'm like walking into meeting with like one of the facilitators or two. We go down to the Maloka and I'm like sitting there waiting for our time. And I like walk up to go in and it's fucking everyone. Like the maestro, the maestra, and like all four facilitators. Like I walked in and immediately felt like I was in an interview. I was so scared. Like, mm-hmm. so intimidating. And so I sat down. One of the facilitators was like, oh, how was your night? And Ashton, she asked me, how was my night? And I just started bawling. Like, I didn't even talk. Like, she just asked. Same. And it was like, I just started sobbing. And then I was like, I don't know why I'm crying. Like, it was good. Like, I felt so good and whole and happy. And she was like, well, how, you know, you came up and had two. And I was like, yes. And she's like, do you think tonight you want to start with two? And I was like, yes. And she was like, okay. And then the maestro started talking. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. And then they translated it. And he had said, you're resistant to the medicine. And then I just started to sob again because I was like, yeah, I know. When he said it, it was like I had known that the whole time. I just hadn't said it because like I had let all this happy, like everything felt good and grateful. But like I also, you know, had the narrator like turn things on and turn things off and be like, this is stupid. Don't do that. Instead of just like laying there and letting it all come. And in Adam's meeting, he said the maestro started talking and they translated it and it was like, you opened up like a flower. Which was like so fucking funny. But he is, you know, like he's so laid back and so whatever. Like he just took the medicine and let whatever happened happen.
Yeah.
Where I like took the medicine and was like, what the fuck? Stop doing that. This isn't happening. I'm stealing her thing. I should be feeling this. Why aren't I feeling this? And so after that, I was like, okay, tonight I'm like, I'm going to do whatever it tells me. And then, so my intention that night was show me who I am. We sat down. I went up and I started right away with a double. And I went back and laid down and I was like, whatever happens, like, I'm only taking the double. I don't need more. I'm just going to be open to this. Because they tell you that as time goes on, you don't build the tolerance. It's like the opposite. You learn to work with the medicine, just become more open sooner. And it started so good. And it was like, show me who I am. And the first thing that happened was like, I had found peace in the world. So I was breathing and I was laying down and like you could hear the ocean, which is like even the facilitators who were there were like, this maluka and this ceremony place is so fucking rad because you're in the jungle, you have the jungle, but you can also hear the ocean down below. Mm-hmm. So I like am breathing and like all of a sudden I like take this deep breath in and in my mind I was like, this is scary. And then it's like, no, just trust the medicine. So I take this breath in and it feels like I can't stop breathing in. And like I breathe in the ocean and then the stars. And it's like, I just breathe in the whole world. It was like the whole universe. And then at the end of the breath, it's like I'm holding it all inside of me. And we're just in black space. And I just sit there. And then I'm able to breathe out. And as I breathe out, it's like the stars go back to where they belong. And the ocean goes back to where it belongs. And then also, there are like all these other little droplets of the universe with like everything in them that like flow back out, but they all go to people. So like as this is happening, like I'm in the experience, but I automatically know what's happening. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so hard about explaining it, because as I explain it, I have to be like, those drops were the universe and they went to everyone. And so I saw my kids and those are the droplets that I saw, but they were like these perfect droplets of the entire universe that are like in everyone. And I just knew that those were our souls. Like it didn't have to tell me, like it was like I breathed in everything and then I breathed it out. And I was like my intent was show me who I am. And then it was like it showed me that I was part of the universe. And I knew then too that like all these people in my life that have died and their droplets just went back to part of the universe and they get it almost was like not like reincarnation, but just like they become part of the universe again and they're still there. So like you're always there and you're always a part of everything. And it was so fucking intense. Like I can't even, like I laid there when that was over and I was like, you know what? If this is all I get out of tonight, like I'm not taking this any more medicine.
Yeah.
And there's some struggle there because I've struggled with like spirituality and like where we are and where we go and who we are and where we came from and what that all means. And so all of it in that moment like made so much sense to me. And also we were all just so connected, you know, and my kids like had these little perfect droplets in them that like as we got older, they get cloudy and my kids were so clean. And like, I knew that my job was to keep them clean, but it also was like their soul. So that night I was like, okay, you've shown me who I am. I know that's who I am. And I know what I need to do for my kids. And I know the type of person I need to be. And I know that we're all connected. And I just felt so at peace. And I was like, if this is it, this is fucking fine. I'm not having more. I will lay here for like 6 hours and just be fine. And so I laid there and then, and that was not it. And I thought it was going to be for so long. And then they started singing and it was like it was probably the worst night of my life, mm-hmm. which is so weird after like this whole thing that was so important. And like, I just felt so good. And then I laid there and, they started singing and the whole night was, grief and sadness and like it was trauma. The whole thing was trauma. It was like my trauma and like my kids' trauma. And so I had like body convulsions. So I don't want to call them seizures because they weren't really seizures because like I knew that I could stop them, but I also had gone in like so fucking stubborn that I was just going to let whatever happened happen. And so when my body started to shake, I was like, I know I can open my eyes and like sit up and this won't, but I'm going to let it happen. And so I like had these seizures and then it was like, I knew that it was like part of all of the stuff I had been burying this was like part of the purge. And so for me, I never puked, but the purge was different. And it's like they tell you, like, it can be like yawning is a form of purging. And of course, like puking and shitting, but also sweating and like chills and like fever and whatever, like all of that is purging. So I knew that it was like my body trying to get rid of all of this stuff. And there was a lot that happened. Like I saw our whole family and all of the like pain that was like physical. Like I could see everyone around me that I loved, but mm-hmm. then also like everyone that they had lost and like all of this pain that everyone had. And it was like part of me like being okay with everyone else's pain too, and not feeling like I had to carry it, but also feeling like seeing it, you know, and acknowledging that. And then my mom came and I just asked her, like, because I mean, I know I've said before, but like I have this fear of like dying or like mm-hmm. leaving my kids. And it's like this fear that I have all the time because it's like the thing that scares me the most. And so my mom came and I was like, you know, like, what was that like? Or I don't know what I asked her. And this is how I know, like, it's all in my head, you know, especially because mm-hmm. now I have kids. And she just started to cry. And like, I just sat and like I held her and she just cried. And then she told me, like, I had to go and it's okay. And you've spent all like your whole life worrying about how to be a mom. Because it's like real weird to think about being a parent when you don't know how one is, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I've never had a mom until, I mean, I did when I was little, but I don't remember that. And so she's like, you've spent your whole life worrying about how to be a mom, but I left so that you could just be the mom you were supposed to be without thinking that you had to be someone else. And it was like, mm-hmm. all of a sudden I like had this freedom. Like it was like, instead of being so sad and angry about like not having a mom and thinking I'm doing it wrong, it was like my mom was there being like, you got to be better because you figured out how to do it on your own, you know? Mm-hmm. So we cried, and then my grandma was there and she like held us both, and that happened. It was like, is this what I'm supposed to purge? Like my grief, and maybe I'm gonna puke, because that was the other thing. I was so self-conscious thinking like I wasn't getting the full experience. And like this voice was like, that's not what you need to purge. Like you're not here to purge. You're here to like become okay with everything that's inside you, not to pull it out, but to like mm-hmm. be at peace with it. So the whole second night was like, show me who I am. And it did. Like it showed me who I was, and then it showed me that I was okay, like who I was. And it was fucking horrible. When they were like, the ceremony is closed, I like stood the fuck up and was like, get me the fuck out of here. It was horrible. So the next day we got up and we had the day off, and thank God, because it took me that whole day to realize that I could do it again. Because we had Wednesday off and then we had ceremony Thursday and Friday. And ceremony Thursday, I was like dreading. And so I went in, and I started with the two full ones. And that night I was really like physically sick. Like I laid on the mat. And so that night was like, my intention was like, show me peace. Because I had felt like, okay, I'd like worked on myself and I felt like I knew I was okay. And then I also had gone through like the grief and sadness that I like try to bury, and I'd like face that, and I knew that was all okay. And so then I was like, okay, I'm ready for peace, but it wasn't peaceful. It was like that night my stomach was so upset, like so fucking upset, and I couldn't puke. And again, like I was so scared I was gonna shit my pants, but like the whole time I was like, I can't stand up. Like, I don't, because the bathrooms were outside the Maloka and it was fine. Everything was so clean, but there are bugs and lizards fucking everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if I walked to the bathroom and there were spiders or any sort of animal, like, I would be so scared I wouldn't be able to relax again. Mm-hmm. And the mat just felt like the only safe place.
Yeah.
So I just laid there and my stomach would roll and the whole night was just anger. I was so angry. And I was like, how do you know you're in a cult? You know, like, we flew down here. We're fucking all laying in this fucking hut in the middle of the jungle drinking this fucking drug. Like, I was so angry. I was like, I'm food poisoning myself every night to, like, feel things. I, like, let the fucking maestro spit on me. Like, when he came around to sing that night, I was like, how fucked up do you have to be to let someone spit on you? Which is even worse after, like, coronavirus. And like, I was like, this dude just spit all over me. But I was so mad. I was so, like, I didn't feel good. I was sweating. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was scared. I was like, why are we here? What is the point of all this? Like, this is so dumb. Like, we made a mistake. And then, you know, I had also wanted to go home, you know, and I was like, I miss my kids. Like, I'm just fucking pissed. I was so pissed. And all of that, like, impacted how I was too, you know? And we walked out, and that was the night Adam didn't. So Adam took a shit ton that night. I don't know how much, but he took a bunch more. So after ceremony, as soon as they closed ceremony, and it felt like it lasted so long. So it got done, and I walked out immediately. They were like, ceremony is closed. And I was like, fuck yeah. And so I, like, ran out, got my shoes, and then I was out there by myself, and, like, Adam wasn't coming. And every other night, as soon as they closed ceremony, like, we were out about the same time, and he didn't come. And so I sat down, and one of our friends walked out, and he was like, are you good? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And I was just going to sit and wait, but then the group of them started walking up the hill, and I was, like, so scared because I did not have the courage to walk up the hill by myself. And so I was like, fuck. So I just ran, and I, like, caught up with them. We actually talked up by where we split to go to our rooms for, like, an hour, and one of our friends, like, one of my favorite people there, was like, where's your husband? And I was like, I don't know. And that was this other part, like, I was so worried about Adam. And so we, like, walked up to the room finally, and, like, I didn't know if I should go back down. And then I got into bed, and I was like, he's fucking dead. Like, he's probably down there and had, like, a heart attack. And I worry about this all the time. Like, if he's at work by himself in a house somewhere and no one's there with him, like, I always, like, when we were building the rental, I was like, Dad, will you go down there? Like, I just don't want him down there by himself. And I fucking worry about it. And I know I worry about it way too much, and it's not healthy. And I just laid in bed and I couldn't sleep. Oh, plus I had, like, fucking diarrhea, like, fuck, for, like, 5 hours. So I had laid in that thing and, like, didn't purge. And that was the night that I got the most sick. So I was angry. I was, like, sick, and I was so scared. And I laid in bed and I was like, he's dead and no one would know. Like, we never should have came here. We, like, put ourselves at risk and our kids are at home and this was so stupid. And I laid in bed and cried and, like, worked myself up, you know? And then Adam came back at, like, 4:30 in the morning. I still hadn't slept. And he walked in. I was like, thank God, I thought you were dead. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And then I was like, no, no, don't be sorry. Like, I don't want to ruin your experience. Like, this is just me, you know, like, I don't, whatever, it's fine. And we basically just went to bed then. And I got up the next morning and it was like I had spent those three ceremonies. Like the first one was just getting over what I needed to get over. And the second one was like facing all the stuff that I try to bury or that I don't think is important enough to like bring to the surface. Or like when Ellery cries or gets upset about things, like I try to talk to her about managing her emotions and not getting too upset. But also I haven't made room for us to be upset or to cry or to like be okay with sadness. And so like I knew that. And then that night I also knew that like part of being at peace was like understanding that like I am scared about a lot of shit that maybe is just like this thing with Adam, you know, like he's healthy. He goes to the doctor. Like I don't need to be scared all the time that he's going to leave me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then also like I really try not to be angry at anything or anyone at any time. Like I try to like feel pity for them, or I try to flip it, or I try to like always be this calm person. And like, that's not always what's happening inside. And so I feel like that night was so fucking horrible because it like had to show me that it's okay to like be all of who I am. So anyway, we got up the next day and that was Friday, and we went into the last ceremony. And the last night, like we went down to do yoga, and I just laid on my mat. Like one of our friends the next day was like, while we were doing yoga, I just looked over at you and just started laughing because I knew you were just done. Because like we went into yoga, and I literally laid down on my belly and just laid on my mat the entire yoga class. Because I was like, I'm fucking, like, I just need to survive tonight. Like, that is it. So we went, and I went up to take my first glass, and I honestly was like, I don't think I can fucking do this again. Like, I don't think there's anything, there's nothing. Like, I have nothing left. She was like, I took up my shot glass that night, and the other two nights I had just taken the double, you know, so I didn't. And I handed her my glass, and she laughed, and she goes, you're going back? And I go, yeah, I just need one. And she goes, do you want a full one? And I go, no, I don't really care how full you fill it. And she's like, how about 3/4? And I was like, that's perfect. And so she like filled it up to 3/4 full, and I like took it and I went and laid down. And it was just easy. I mean, it was just easy. Like I saw lights and everything was back to like lightness. And I had been so scared about bugs. And like at one point I thought I'd put my foot down on a beetle on my mat. And I was like, I just knew his name was Darren. And I like... like had this friend who like was taking up the bottom corner of my mat, and I like didn't freak out and try to brush him away. I was like, Darren just lives okay. there. Yes. And then like no other bugs like bothered me, because there would be like mosquitoes flying around or like, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And nothing else bothered me the whole night, and I was just okay with him like just being there. And then like, I mean, I saw little things like a circus and like lots of lights, and everything was just really easy, but also very funny. Cause after the maestro like sang to the first person, it was so quiet in the maloka every time. And I just wanted to yell like, only 19 left. Yeah. And then after the next person, it actually was only like 17 left, cause we had lost people. But
yeah.
And then like halfway through, one of our friends who was probably one of the people I grew closest to, she just started laughing. I knew it was her. And then I just started laughing. Like it just was, the last night was just like, it was light, and I didn't take enough where it like made me feel like I was poisoning myself. Mm-hmm. And it also was like, I was emotionally just exhausted and I just wanted to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the next day, you know, started to say goodbye. And then the last morning, we all had, like, breakfast together. And then everybody left at, like, 7, and we all went, like, different directions. And, like, some people stayed in Costa Rica for, like, a week or two. And They said it's good to like take some time to get back to normal. And I knew we couldn't do that from the very beginning because mm-hmm. we have children.
Life and yeah.
Yes, we had to come home. And so for a little bit, I was like, oh, that makes me sad. We can't do that. But then also I was so ready to come home that I didn't care. It's funny, when I told my friend Kim, she had no idea. And when I told her at first, she was like, I'm glad you didn't tell me because I probably would have tried to talk you out of it. And it's like I totally get that. But she's like, you know, do you feel like you came back and you're like this weird, it's weird. Like, are you going to be yourself? You know, like, because mm-hmm. there's like this worry that you go and then you like come back all hippie or whatever. And it's mm-hmm. like part of us is not the same. And then part of us is just so much better because we're yeah. healthier. We're healthier in general and we want our diets to be better and we want our kids to be better. But then also at the same time, like
emotionally.
Yeah. Better. Yeah. Like all of it is so fucking crazy. And that's like when we finally, so we had waited to tell Adam's parents. So I knew we had to tell them before we recorded this because I didn't want them to yeah. learn about it on this. No, and that would have been so unfair because we trust them, you know, yeah. and we feel safe with them. And so it was like the 4th of July, I just brought it up and Papa Don was like, what? Like, ayahuasca? Like, I've seen shows on that. You did ayahuasca? We were like, yeah. He's like, well, I'm glad you didn't tell me before because I would have just worried. And it was yeah. like, yeah, that exactly. was but they were so cool too, you know? They were like, well, what happened? And the day we were coming back, the next group going in was like a group of veterans who were like going as PTSD therapy and there were like investors mm-hmm. going with them and like a film crew. And I was listening to a podcast last night with Aubrey Marcus and Duncan Trussell. And during that, they were talking about, so like most of the stories I hear of people going to do this are like the bros, you know, it's like Rogan has people on that have gone or, but they're all like tech millionaires who are like yeah. men or like guys who are like experimenting and they go off and they like find just themselves.
Do, yeah.
Yeah. And Aubrey Marcus and Duncan Trussell were talking about just psychedelics and the future of them. And Duncan, like he's a stand-up comedian. He's also like, he's just a rad guy. But anyway, he was talking about the future and he's like, I don't know that this is like going to heal the world. And mm-hmm. like he had kind of like a, you know, sad outlook on it. And he's like, you know, I don't know. Like it's all good for people to go and like have these experiences and come back and, you know, like realize that we shouldn't be in wars or we shouldn't be because there is like a sense of love and gratitude and like oneness with the world. And he was like, you know, I don't think this was his words, but he's like, I don't think ISIS is going to go like drink ayahuasca and then yeah. come out and be like, we shouldn't be killing people. And then Aubrey Marcus was like, I understand all that, but I have a different view. And he was like, I've been working with, I don't know, some sort of USFC fighter. And he's like, he's experimenting with psilocybin and, you know, he's like a good old boy and like drinks Bud Light and like goes home. And then once he like speaks and tells his friends about it, then they're going to be more open than they are to like listening to us talk about it, who, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have any reference. And I just listened to that and it was like exactly what I needed to hear before this because I'm not scared. And, you know, Adam and I came back and we like knew we would like tell the things, but also, you know, we own a business and we like have children and mm-hmm. there are going to be people who like obviously think this was a bad choice. And that's
well, and in South Dakota, we're just not yeah. as open to that as anywhere else. Like you could come to Colorado and share those experiences and it would be taken differently than trying to tell your friends and not necessarily yes. your friends specifically, but just people in Hill City or in Rapid City, South Dakota, yeah. it just would be taken a lot different because not yeah, that we're like closed-minded, but it's no. further behind and it's not as talked about, yeah. but it starts with talking about it and normalizing it as much as yes. we can.
And that was just it. Like, listening to them talk, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just a fucking middle-aged mother in the Midwest. And, like, I went and did it. And first, it's okay. Like, it was safe. It was fine. And second, it is, like, life-changing. And then mm-hmm. the other part is, like, first I came back and was like, I would never fucking do that again. And then just this morning, I was like, you know what? You can tell Connor whenever he's ready. Like, I'll go with Connor. Because, like, there is so much that, like, I feel like I'm trying to, it's like you're trying to hold water in your hands and it just keeps leaking out. Because it's like, in order to hold on to that, like, I have to meditate every day and I have to journal and I have to make sure I'm being true to, like, all the lessons I learned. And then even as time goes, it's like, oh, fuck, this is what this was trying to tell me. And I need to remember that. But just having a little reminder every, like, once a year would be so helpful. And mm-hmm. anyone can do it, but I wouldn't say everyone should do it, because you, like, have to be ready. And even coming back, it was like, it's taken me, now it's been a month, to be like, oh, I could see myself doing it again sometime in a year. But it's mm-hmm. not like I would be ready. Like, I couldn't even do the vomitivo again right now.
Yeah.
And that, like, looking back was like, you know, so hard in the moment, but, like, the easiest part of it all. Yes, yes. And it is, like, it's such a roller coaster, but, like, I'm just so grateful. And I'm grateful that we could do it and that we mm-hmm. were able to, and that we have families that I knew we could come back and they would still speak to us when we told them. And I'm grateful for Adam. Like, we came back and I was like, I can't lie to people and I can't lie to our kids. Like, I'm going to be honest about every part of this. And he was like, me too. I was like, mm-hmm. is there any part of, like, owning a business or any part of this that makes you nervous? And he was like, no, this is, like, who we are. And part of being who we are is being honest, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to add. Did I tell you? Did I say our friend had been on antidepressants for, like, 13 years?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he had to stop taking them. Well, not in this,
but
them.
To me. Yeah.
So part of him coming was stopping taking them. Again, one of the biggest parts of this was, like, every single person that was there, like, I love them. Like, mm-hmm. all parts of them. And it was, geez, so fucking cool. But anyway, I mean, at the end, he was like, I'm going to try to just stay off. And, you know, everybody went back with, like, a thing they were going to try to manage in their lives. And that is part of the helpfulness of it, you know, just seeing all the things that we do that aren't beneficial for us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It was fucking awesome. Tell Connor I'll go back. So
yeah, he wants to. Connor talks about it so much.
Well, and when Connor used to talk about it, I used to think, like, he was just going to end up going to, like, some hut in the jungle and, like, doing
it. Or making
it
in the basement.
Yes. And every time he talked about it, I was like, I could not do it like that. But then this was, like, this was manageable. And every yeah. night we got to go sleep in a really nice, clean bed. It was not.
No, I'm the same. I would have to do it in, like, a very safe and guided, which if Connor does end up doing it, it will be that. But if it was up to him, he would be in the middle of the jungle. Like, yeah. No restrictions, just out there. We'll For record sure. in 10 years and I'll be like, this is when my 10-year thing started, when I considered and then I did it. That's what we
If
did.
It seems like we're crazy, we honestly, yeah, yes. To be completely honest, we are a little bit.
Okay. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.